What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I am your host, Alex Spinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo. Ray, my man, how are we feeling? The day is finally here. A loaded, loaded position rankings today. We got the wide receivers.
Yeah, this is debatably a top two group. And I mean, not even debatably. It's one of the top two groups in this draft. Yeah. It's just deep as deep comes. I mean, you're going to be getting starting wide receivers, I think, in day three. So it's an interesting group. It's interesting and very hard to stack. So this one, it was probably the hardest group so far, I think, to get my top 10 in order.
Yeah, I agree. Top 10. And then I think the range of 7 to like 16 is like incredibly hard to stack. Like there are guys that I really like who are falling into that 15, 16, 17 range. I'm like, I really like these players and they're probably third round picks. And it's just going to be up to NFL teams to decide who they actually like. It's going to be a fascinating group to follow for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I think it's going to be funny too, because I think like my wide receiver 12 may get drafted ahead of my wide receiver 6. I think there's a very real chance that happens. So, and it could be by more than like 30 picks. So it'll be funny to see and just cool to see how it turns out, because with this many people, you know, some teams are going to be bound to get it wrong too. And it's going to be interesting to look back in like 3 to 5 years and be like, how the hell did X go in front of Y?
Right. So like we said, there are just so many guys that we want to get to. We are going to read out our 15 through 11, and then we're going to take you guys through our top 10s a little bit more in depth. We are definitely going to cover the guys that we have in our 11-15 range. I think we'll even go maybe even further than that to maybe 16, 17, 18 too, just cover them quickly because there are a lot of guys that we want to get to. But Ray, read me out your 15 through 11, and then I'll go, and then we'll take it to the top 10s.
Yeah, so starting at 15, I got to get him in here. My boy, Jordan Whittington. Love nice. That guy. 14, Jalen Polk from Washington. 13, Jacob Cowing. Is that how you pronounce it? Cowing?
Uh-huh.
From Arizona. 12, Slick Rick Pearsall from Florida. And 11, Roman Wilson from Michigan. It was really hard to leave Roman Wilson off this list. And honestly, even Ricky Pearsall will leave it out of my top 10. But just it's a testament to how deep this fucking class is.
Yeah, I agree. Even you mentioned Cowing. Like, I have Cowing outside my top 15. I really like Jacob Cowing. He's a good player.
I feel like I kind of, like, let those three guys, him, Pearsall, and Roman, I feel like they're kind of like the slot guys, the little undersized. I'm going to have them travel together most of the way. I feel like those guys are just so hard to stack and, like, separate by that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. For me, 15, I have Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. I know you weren't the biggest fan of him, but he does a lot of good stuff. 14, I also have Jalen Polk from Washington. 13 is my guy, Javon Baker from UCF. I wanted to have him higher. I just couldn't find a spot for him. 12, I have Keon Coleman from Florida State. Going to be a hot topic. And then 11, I also have Roman Wilson.
I like it. I feel like we're gonna be similar top tens. I have a feeling, and I mean, top fives, top threes are probably gonna be identical. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right, who you got at 10?
For me, the guy that you kind of just mentioned, I got Keon Coleman at 10. Mm. This is one of the hardest evaluations, I'd say. He's a true junior, I believe, from Florida State. One season there after playing at Michigan State. Former basketball player, and it really shows in his game. I feel like that's kind of when you picture a basketball player on the NFL field or college football field, it's like this guy. He's 6'3", I think is what his measure was, 213. He's just a prototypical big X receiver. His catch frame, his radius, his ability to control his body, all super, that's what he does best. And he's deceptive. He's really, really good with the ball in his hands. So this past season, let me see the stats. He had only 46 catches for 639 yards, but he had 11 touchdowns and 286 yards after the catch. So that's about 44% of his yards and no drops too. So this guy's really sure-handed, big-bodied receiver. And he's like kind of a throwback, I'd say. his combine was a little underwhelming, I guess. Kind of left us head scratching. We talked about it earlier in the week, but he ran a 4.6 140, which is one of the slower times there. But he had 38-inch vert and 10.7 broad, so he's pretty explosive. And when he was running that gauntlet, he got up to like 20-plus miles per hour. He was like the fastest one there. So really interesting player. I mentioned his strengths. I think it's just his overall catch radius. This guy's going to be a red zone threat from day one as soon as he steps in. I think he's underrated with the ball in his hands as well. So that, those are two of the three things I think you need as a receiver. And on the negative side, just his ability to separate. I really wanted to see his three cone times and like some of those short area quickness, just because he doesn't really separate that much. It looks like he struggles to get in and out of breaks a little bit, but he obviously didn't test at the combine with those. So this was like the epitome of scout what they can do, don't look at what they can't do. And I feel like if he goes in the right situation and they just, and you use his skills from day one, he's going to be a red zone target within the 10 yard line. He's deadly. You can get him some manufactured touches. He's a big, strong kid. I view him, I think he's going to be a nice wide receiver too for a team. I don't know if he'll ever be able to be a one, just because he's not going to be someone who can separate and like really win by being a route craftsman, if you will. But he's someone that you can throw the ball up in an emergency. He can go up and make a spectacular play. He has so many highlight reels this year. So he's at my number 10. I feel like he's going to be a top 50 player for me. Maybe top 60, but he's someone who has to go within the first two rounds. I don't see how you can't, because I think he's the epitome of a boom or bust type prospect.
Yeah, you mentioned it. Toughest evaluation. I agree. I think him, Leggett, and Tez Walker were the three guys that I had the toughest time evaluating. Him in particular, the reason I have him outside my top 10 is the reason you mentioned, the separation. For as freaky of an athlete as he is, he just doesn't win with separation. And I'm literally looking at it right now, the top 20 wide receivers this past season based on yards and receptions. And every single one of these guys is a good separator. So for me, at the next level, the NFL DBs, they only get more physical. They only get faster. So if you can't separate at the college level, what can you do at the NFL level? I completely agree. I think he's going to be awesome as a red zone guy. I think you can manufacture screens with him, because you even saw him. He takes punts for Florida State. It's an underrated part of his game. He runs really tough when he's got the ball in his hands. But getting open is just a struggle for him. I mean, this is a guy, I mean, you mentioned 6'3", 213. There just aren't enough games where he's dominating outside of the first game of the season. So I think it really put everybody on notice about who he is. But I think there are a lot of flaws in his game right now. And we talked about it during the combine review. I think fit for him, almost more than anybody that I watched, is going to be so important to how his career turns out.
Yeah, for sure. And we're talking about the separation ability. Obviously, we're going to beat the dead horse on it. But especially nowadays, I feel like the NFL is just more than ever a space game. It's kind of resembling that college mindset from a few years back. I feel like 5 to 7 years ago, if I'm watching this guy in college, I'm obsessed with him and I want him to be a first-round pick. Just because I feel like as the years have gone on, I've been trying to get into that mindset where you need to be able to separate, and route running, winning with the route is more important than being able to win at the catch point. But there's still something about this guy's game, man. He has some sort of a star ability. It's just going to be whether he can refine his route running to really maximize it at the next level. But yeah, he's number 10. I think he'll go within top 50 picks.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I honestly think he's going to be a top 40 pick just because of the freaky athlete that he is. I just have a hard time seeing this guy ever being a wide receiver one for his team. I think he's a wide receiver two. And I think he's a red zone guy. I think he's kind of like a Mike Williams type. That's kind of who I would compare him to. But even I think Mike Williams coming out of college was a way better separator than this guy was.
I mean, what did Mike Williams go, 4 or 5? Right? He's top 6 pick, I want to say.
Yeah, something like that. But again, you just alluded to the changing of the league and what it is now. I'm probably too low on him, but there are just so many other guys that I really liked. and I see
put your guys up there. You gotta do it.
And I just see the role for guys ahead of him, over what he does. But again, a freaky athlete. If he can get with a good team and a good scheme, obviously we mentioned like Buffalo, like he'll be awesome in Buffalo next to Stephon Diggs. But yeah, for me, I got him at 12.
What do you got at 10?
I got it at 10. It's Slick Rick, Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. 6'1", 189, had 65 catches this past season, 963 yards, four touchdowns, had 377 yards of yak, 5 of 10 contested catches. He had 40 first downs. The route running is the first thing that you notice with this guy. It's polished. He can really sink the hips and get in and out of breaks. He also is great at leaning on corners, plays with great leverage to get separation, plays with excellent pace. In his routes, he really sets up DBs with his slow releases, with his quick releases off the line of scrimmage, and then breaks out. The other thing I really love, he plays a lot out of the slot. He's excellent at slipping linebackers in the middle of the field. When they try to bump him off of his route, if it's like timing routes over the middle of the field, he's excellent at ducking underneath linebackers and just making himself an easy target for the quarterback. Reliable hands. You notice he's also got some of the craziest catches of anybody in this class, too. Just spectacular at adjusting his body. And he's just a really high IQ player. Really knows where to sit down in zones, just makes himself available to the quarterback. I think he's going to be a tremendous slot player in the NFL. For me right now, the reasons I have him at 10, doesn't have a massive catch radius and balls outside of his frame, just can get a little bit away from him. Physical corners can kind of jam him. He's a finesse player. Doesn't really like to hand fight too much. He wins a lot with his feet, and his head and his shoulder fakes. And then his yak this past season, it got a little bit better. But I think this is a guy that I like his yards after catch, after he catches a ball in the middle of the field, rather than giving him screens. He really doesn't explode with the ball in his hands. Like, that first step acceleration isn't always there, but he does have pretty good long speed. You saw it at the combine, that 4.41. But this is a guy who's just ultra reliable. And I think in the NFL, where we do say that pace and space starts to open up a little bit, I think this guy could easily be a 100 catch guy in the NFL in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, he's 12 for me. So ironically, we had our 10s and 12s flop. But
yeah.
I agree with so much what you said there. He's a mature route runner. His ability to separate, I think that's really where he makes his money. And I love his deep ball tracking too. This guy was a true deep ball threat in college. And for someone who's like, I mean, I'm not sure if undersized is the right word, but you know, he doesn't have like the fastest 40. He's not the biggest guy.
Thin-ish.
But yeah, it's still a little slender, but deep ball tracking's A+. And he was a real threat for them, especially the last, I guess 2 years ago, I feel like he was a really good deep ball threat for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the same thing you did. I feel like physicality, that's really what kind of made me bump him down a little bit. I feel like he's not really as physical as you would think he'd be for someone that explosive of an athlete, just with his combine testing numbers. Ran a 4.41 40, jumped 42 inches and had a 10.9 broad. So this guy, real explosive athleticism. But I don't know, like similar to what you said with Keon, I don't know if I see him as someone who can be a wide receiver one or maybe even a wide receiver two for that matter. I think this is a really high floor player. I think he'll come in from day one and be able to be a contributor as a wide receiver three type guy. He can stretch the field. He can do a lot of different things. But I don't know if he's going to be a guy who can just take over games, if that makes sense. Really reliable hands. He'll be a good third down target. He can stretch the field, but I just don't know what his ceiling is. I think he'll be a really good starter and contributor for a team, but I feel like his ceiling is kind of be kind of capped at that like 850 yards. So like maybe he'll do like 1,100 yards in a really good season.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was watching him, you know who I kind of thought about? Elijah Moore coming out of college. I feel like the play style was so similar, and I feel like at the next level, like, who I wanted Elijah Moore to be, I think he's going to be that.
I feel like Elijah Moore is a little quicker, like agility wise. And I feel like I think Elijah Moore is also way less physical. And I don't even think Ricky Pearsall is physical. So
yeah.
I don't hate the comp though.
Kind of sounds like you hate it.
I'm a fan.
All right, let's keep it rolling. Who you got at nine?
This is another one. These are my two, him and Keon were my two hardest evals, but A.D. Mitchell from Texas.
Ooh.
After the combine, I really wanted to bump him up, but I just don't think I could have. So, I mean, this is 6'2 plus, 205-pound receiver. He ran a 4.34 40, 39.5-inch vert, 11.4 broad. So this guy is the epitome of athlete. He's got the height, weight, speed that you should look for in a dominant X number one receiver. He's a lot quicker than I imagined too. I thought he was gonna be more of a vertical player, but no, he's super good, quick and out of his breaks. He kind of has like, I don't know if he does, but he looks like a basketball player with the way he can cross a defender's faces up really quick off the line of scrimmage. Quick feet, smooth athlete, able to separate very easily. He's got really good body control too, which helps him on those outside, like over the shoulder catches and stuff like that. Some of the negatives with him, I feel like he's not as physical as I want him to be. So I wish you could put Keon's physicality in his ability to separate together, because he'd be a top three prospect in this class. For someone that size, I want to see him try to high point. I want to see him just use his body a little bit more. I feel like there's just a little softness to his game. And that really was, I think, what rubbed me the wrong way the most. And then also, he's someone who's got to get a little bit more polished as a route runner. He's got the ability. Like, he flashes it. I remember texting you. I was like, I don't really think he can get off the line of scrimmage that well. And then like five plays later, he's like, his feet are like,
I texted you. I was like, watch his releases.
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, I'm fucking wrong on that. But I feel like it's just a consistency factor that's not there for him right now. And also, for someone who's been not full-time, but almost full-time star for 3 years, he really hasn't had the production that his athleticism warrants. Like, this is a guy who should be having 1,200 yards for the last 2 years in college football playing at Georgia and Texas. Just hasn't done it. Like, this past season, 55 catches, 845 yards. He did have 11 touchdowns, but only 135 yards after the catch, 19% of his yards. I think that's a testament to the lack of physicality. And I'm curious how that's going to hold up once he starts playing against bigger, faster, stronger type of guys.
Yeah, this is a guy that I really love the traits, and I really love the way he gets off the line of scrimmage. I have A.D. Mitchell at 7. Said the first thing that I noticed was the shiftiness off the line of scrimmage for a guy who was 6'2", 205. I mean, he moves like he's 5'10 off the line of scrimmage. It's super impressive. And then the other thing I wrote down was the reliable hands. Only had one drop this year. He's really comfortable as a hands catcher. He plucks the ball out of the air, and he's really good about shielding off DBs with his body in those contested catch situations. He was only 4 of 11 this year, but I noticed some of those contested catch situations just weren't great throws by Quinn Ewers. So I'm not going to knock him too hard for that. You mentioned the long speed. Great. He's going to be a vertical threat in the NFL. And then the body control you also mentioned, I think it's special the way he can hang in the air. That catch he had against Washington in the semifinal game. I mean, he was hanging in the air for like 3 seconds. That ball was way outside of his frame and he was able to come up with it. The reason I don't have him higher is, like you said, the consistency, it just fades. This is another guy kind of like Keon Coleman, where I think he should be able to take over games with his athletic profile. And even outside of that, I think he's got good technique in his feet. He should just be able to win more, and he wasn't. I know they got a lot of weapons at Texas. They're throwing to Worthy a lot. They're throwing to JT Sanders a lot. They're throwing to your guy Whittington. They're handing the ball off to Jonathan Brooks. So, obviously, a lot of mouths to feed. But in that room, he should have been the alpha. He just should have been. Mm-hmm. And then the other things I wrote, I completely agree with you. I had – has the ability to be a big-time 50-50 winner, but he doesn't attack the ball at the high point as aggressive as he should be.
That's the way to put it. Because like you said before, he does a good job of, like, shielding. Like, he kind of knows angles and stuff, but he doesn't attack. That's a good way to put it. Like, he doesn't go – he's not, like, if it's a 50-50 ball, he's not saying that's my ball. And that's what I think it comes down to.
And then the last thing I wrote, I said really good short area quickness in the release, but it doesn't translate to his yak ability. He really doesn't try to run away from anybody. He's a very linear after the catch runner, tries to pick up as much yards as he can. And then once somebody kind of engages with him, he goes down. He's really not looking to make anybody miss. But I do think he has the ability to do so with his long speed. And you see the shiftiness in his releases. So I do think that ability is there. It's just if he wants it to be. Because there are plays where he takes plays off. There are just plays that he's not engaged at all. So I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what it is. But for an NFL team, like, they got to pull that out of him. Because he could be a really special player.
Yep. Who do you got at 9? So you said he's 7?
Yeah, he was 7 for me. I have Xavier Leggett at 9. Wide receiver out of South Carolina, 6'1", 221. Just an absurd body type for a wide receiver. This was a guy I mentioned. Very tough evaluation for me. But had a great season at South Carolina. 71 catches. 1,255 yards. 7 touchdowns. He had 451 yards of yak. 10 of 21 in contested catch situation. He had 47 first downs. Great speed at 220. He ran 4.39 at the combine. Just a freak of an athlete. An elite 50-50 catcher. We talk about attacking the point of the catch point for A.D. Mitchell. This is a guy who attacks the football when it's in the air. Sorry, I lost my place. He feels really comfortable in traffic too, catching the football. I mean, there are so many plays where even when he's going over the middle and safety's coming downhill on him, he doesn't even feel that pressure. He's just looking to throw his body in there and make a catch. The routes aren't really polished right now, but he does have the ability to sink his hips and get in and out of breaks. Like, you do see it on occasion. So, again, I think it's just a technique thing. I was reading, he was a quarterback in high school. So playing wide receiver is still fairly new to him. And I still think he's learning some of the nuances of playing the position. So I think coaching for him at the next level is going to be really big. And then the last thing I wrote for strengths, the hand fighting at the release. It's not technically great, but he's so physical. He can bully any DB off the line of scrimmage and win separation that way. So I think once he gets a little bit more refined in his hand placement, I think he's just going to be able to take off. For me, some of the negatives right now, doesn't have much twitch in footwork in his release. It's really getting off the line with physicality and kind of in that same vein. He loops some of his routes instead of just making these sharp, tight angles. It's tough. He's 221. So not an easy thing to do for that guy, for a guy like that. But you would like to see him clean that up. And then the last thing I just struggled with was the lack of production for 4 years. A 5-year player just didn't play really at all for 4 straight years and then broke out in year 5. I just concerned about why this took so long to get on the field and really produce. I also think this season would have gone way different if Juice Wells doesn't get hurt in like the second game of the season, because he'd probably be playing second fiddle to Juice Wells, who was a guy that I really liked coming out of summer. So I had some concerns about that. But obviously you cannot knock a 1,200-yard season with 7 touchdowns for a pretty shitty South Carolina offense.
Yeah, I love this player. This is my wide receiver 6. So I was watching him actually the night before the wide receivers tested the combine. I texted you. I'm like, just to let you know now, just so you don't think I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but Leggett's going to test like a maniac, and he's my guy. I'm on his team. And sure enough, I mean, I was saying if he ran a sub 4.45, that'd be impressive for a guy his size. And he went out and ran a 4.39. So at 220 pounds, that's super impressive. But I agree with a lot of, if not everything you said. His size speed combination, I think, is rare. And I think his ability to go up and get the ball is his best attribute. I love receivers who have that little man speed, but also the big man body and the big man mentality. He's a physical player, and he's really he's not afraid to go over the middle. He's not afraid to go up and get balls, which I love. He's someone who has the speed to break away. I think the route running, like you said, it needs to be refined. Obviously, I feel like with his issues with releases too, I feel like sometimes he'll release inside and he has to try to cross cornerbacks' faces because his route's an outbreaking route. And it's just like, that's not his game, because he's not twitchy enough to cross guys' faces like A.D. Mitchell is per se. So I think he's got to get a little bit more of a plan like Ladd McConkey, but this guy, all the physical tools. I think you said it too. He's able to throttle down really quick for guys his size. So he's able to go 0 to 60 and then 60 to 0 fast. So I think from the start, you can get him some manufactured touches from day one. You can get him going vertical, some comebacks, some in-breaking routes, but his route running will, I think, develop. He has the tools to do it. He's someone who he has some AJ Brown in his game. That's the player I kind of saw, big, like stocky build and fast as shit. So he's someone who I think he has a ton of upside, and I think he'll. I mean, I don't know where he's gonna go. I saw a mock draft where he goes in the third round. I feel like when you're this big, this physical, and this fast, you kind of have to go early. But we'll see. I think he should be a first round player.
Yeah, I have a early to mid second round grade on him right now, but would not be surprised if he went in the back end of the first round. Like, I mean, we've mentioned how many wide receivers there are in this class. Some of them might get pushed down just because there are so many of them. But if a team took him based on traits, couldn't knock him at the end of the first round. You're at 8 now. Who you got at number 8?
Oh, I have Xavier Worthy, the other Texas wide receiver.
I do too.
No, nice. So we had all 3 Texas wide receivers mentioned right now, which is just a testament to how fucking good that team is. I texted you one too, watching. I'm like, how the hell were they not like better? I don't understand it.
Quinn.
Yeah, I guess it may be an indictment on my boy Quinn, but goddamn, they are loaded with skill position players. But Xavier Worthy, 5'11 and a quarter, 165 pounds only, but we'll say that he cut weight to go run that 4.2 140
because yeah.
Breaking the record, who cares if you're 165? And to be honest, this is a guy who runs harder than A.D. Mitchell does when he has the ball in his hands. I think over the summer, I said he had to get a little stronger. He looked like a strong gust of wind would blow him over. But this season, he was kind of, I'm not sure about deadly is the word, but he was dangerous with the ball in his hands. He was breaking tackles. He does not go down easy for someone who weighs under 170 pounds. But this is a true field stretcher, man. This is a guy that you're drafting, and not only are you getting his production, but it's going to change the way defenses have to scheme for you because he can take the top off any defense, excellent deep ball tracking. He's not someone who's going to go up and get it because if he's got a small frame, that's just not his game, but he can track a ball and he can catch balls outside of his frame. He also has some good ups too for someone his size, 41 inch vert, 10-11 broad, so just shows the explosiveness. He's someone who's just had multiple years of elite production. So I think he was a true freshman starter, if I'm not mistaken.
3 straight years of elite production.
Yeah, so I think he had 60 catches, 760 yards, and 9 touchdowns as a sophomore, and then 62 catches, 981 yards, 12 touchdowns as a freshman. And then this past season, 75 catches, 1,014 yards, 5 touchdowns. So he's someone who's just done it at the highest level in the Big 12 for 3 straight years. And to go on his yak ability, so out of those 1,000 yards, 56% of those yards were after the catch. So I think it really showed a testament to him getting a little stronger and being able to win in those manufactured touch situations. He's another one. He can separate, too, just because of that just pure athleticism. And he's got quick feet, which I think will help him get off the line when he's facing press coverage on the outside. He's someone that you do want, I think, to be a slot mainly guy. In college, let's see, I don't know if I have it written down, but
I think he played 40% of snaps.
Yeah, he was 60-40 split from outside to his slot. So he's someone who was moved around, and he will be moved around the next level just to try to throw defenses off. But on the weaknesses, I think he's another one. Consistency and focus have to be – he's not really on all the time. Sometimes he'll take some routes off. Sometimes I feel like he just loses ball tracking downfield. I don't know what that's about. Like I mentioned, he's not going to be someone who's going to win at the catch point frequently. He's not going to go up and get it over outside cornerbacks. He needs to separate first and then win that way. And then sometimes he's a little bit of a body catcher, which I think you saw specifically his sophomore year where he had, like, I want to say 7 drops on, like, that's about 10% rate. He cut that down a little bit. He only had 5 this past season. So he's someone who he's going to be a scheme guy. So I don't know if he's going to be, he's not going to be your prototypical number one, but he's someone that if you get him with a good offensive mind, it's just going to reshape your entire offense, which I think adds value to him. Is another one, the pinpoint where he goes is going to be, it's going to be tough just because of how many receivers there are, but I don't see him getting out of the first 40 picks, especially at that, like I think we mentioned it the other day, but Panthers at 33, that seems like it'd be a really good spot for him.
Yeah, I completely agree. Right now, I have an early round two grade on him. I love the maturity and growth he had this year in his strength. And I think he just rounded out his whole game. Something I found interesting when I was watching him and I'm kind of going back to my summer notes. Last year, his average depth of target was 17.6 yards, so a true vertical threat. This year, it was 10.3, but his yak percentage from last year to this year went up from 41% to 56%, like you mentioned. So just a complete rounding out of his game. He really showed you last year that he could be the true vertical threat, and this year he could show you that he's tough with the ball in his hands, and he can take those manufactured touches behind the line of scrimmage, in the short, intermediate part of the field, and really take them up the field. So I really like to see that. You mentioned, obviously, the speed. This guy moves at a different speed than everybody else. But he's not just a burner, though. He's got twitch to him, and his stop-start ability is the best in the class. I mean, it's special. He can throttle down so easily without really losing any speed, without any wasted motion, which I think is really important for him being as small as he is. If he sees single high, like, it's over. Those choice routes where he has the vertical or the post concept, like, if he's one-on-one, like, you're done. He's just dominant on those plays. I agree with all the weaknesses that you said. Small, can struggle to get off big physical corners, doesn't really look to hand fight, and can't really get hands off of him when there are big physical corners on him. The 12 drops over the past 2 years, I do think he has good hands. I think it's, like you said, some concentration drops. So those are things that I think he can clean up. And then he is a good tracker of the deep ball, but when he's not in a good position, and this is something that we mentioned over summer too, when he's not in a good position on those deep balls, he kind of gives up, and it allows DBs to get hands on it or possibly make an interception. Like, there are just plays where I want to see you, even if you can't get to it, bat it down. Like, you got to play defense on some of those plays. So I think he's going to be a very, very good player at the next level. I think it might take him a little time to get used to the NFL physicality. But I think once he does, his speed is just overwhelming. So I do think there are going to be packages and plays for him in his rookie year that he's really going to excel at.
Yeah, 100%.
All right. You're at 7 now, because we both had Worthy at 8.
Gotcha. So at 7 for me, I'm very surprised I had him this high. Ladd McConkey, your boy. Yeah, no.
That is my boy.
Yeah, you love this guy. So Ladd McConkey from Georgia, true junior. He's a 3-star recruit, and he started 30 games in 3 seasons for Georgia. So this is a guy who came in and was effectively a 3-year starter for them. So he's 6 foot, 186 pounds. Ran a 4.39 40, 36 inch vert, 10.4 broad. Those numbers are eerily similar to Garrett Wilson, and he's not the same player, but that was very surprising to see, just considering how highly we hold Garrett. Very surprising from Ladd. But this is a guy, he's just so mature, dude. His approach to running routes, he's like a surgeon. He knows exactly how to attack cornerbacks, and I feel like route in, route out, route in and out. He's just never taking a playoff, and he's always thinking. So he's a thinker, which I really do love, and he's got some dog in him too. He'll let you know it when he beats you, and he's a willing blocker too for someone that size. A little surprising to see, but I guess when you're playing for Georgia, you're running the ball that much, you kind of have to block or sit the fuck on the bench, right? He's got the long speed too. So this is a guy who's like, he can stretch a defense. So he's not just a route runner underneath stuff. He's someone who can win deep, and he has won deep in Georgia. The slot phase, he ran really well. And then I think the versatility for him too, he's someone who can play inside or outside at the next level as well. I think in college, it was 78% of the snaps were outside. I don't think it's going to be that high. In the NFL, I think you want him working mainly at the slot, but he's someone that in packages, he can go out wide just because of that footwork and the maturity to know how to get off the line of scrimmage. Some of the weaknesses, I feel like another one, he's just because he's a little bit smaller, but contested catches aren't really his fortes. He can tend to body catch over the middle. And ironically enough, Garrett Wilson was someone who kind of does that still to this day. When he's running over the middle, he'll let it come into him instead of attacking the ball. And he's not someone who's going to be the biggest yak guy. I think this past season he kind of upped his yak game a little bit. Well, actually, I guess it dropped, but only 188 yards after the catch. But this is someone who only played 9 games this past year due to injury. So I don't think he's someone like Xavier Worthy or like Keon Coleman that we mentioned, who's going to be able to be a legitimate threat with the ball in his hands. He's more of a technician. He wants to win running his routes and separating and then taking off from there. So he's someone I think he's probably the higher, not the highest, but out of the guys not in the top three, he's got the highest floor. And he's someone I think he's going to come in right away and be a wide receiver three. And by the end of his rookie contract, he's going to be a really good wide receiver too and a really good running mate with someone. I think he's going to be a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah, this is a guy I think could easily be a 100 reception guy in the NFL. I think, like you said, he's going to come in day one. He's going to be a quarterback's best friend.
Over you know what spot I like for him right now, off the cuff, just thinking? Tennessee, yeah. Round two. Give Will Levis someone like him.
Okay, they need it. He'll be their number one.
Yeah, I mean, show some respect for Hopkins.
Hey, dude, I'm telling that, dude. I'm obsessed with Ladd McConkey. I'll go into him right now. I really like what you said. Obviously, the route running is just...
Where do you have him?
I have him at 6.
Okay.
It's super polished route runner. I mean, stereotypical white guy, right? But this is not your stereotypical white guy. This dude has juice. If you haven't really seen him play, he'll cook really fast defensive backs. I mean... what do you run at the combine? He was
4.39.
I mean, so he's got juice to go along with that polish. But I think for him, his acceleration after the catch, when he puts his foot in the ground, I mean, he's got a second gear that I don't think people really aren't really ready for when they go up against him. His short area quickness is just devastating. I mean, he can make DBs look so silly. His double moves are unstoppable.
They really are.
That play against Ole Miss, I mean, the way he's able to throttle down and really not lose any speed, it's just super, super impressive. And I think he's as reliable as it gets catching the ball, especially over the middle of the field. I know you said he's a body catcher. I kind of agree, but he's just really sure-handed over the middle of the field. I just trust him. This is a guy, like, outside of Marv right now, like, 3rd and 5, if I need a guy to go get me a first down, like, he might be the guy that I'm choosing, which is crazy to say in a class with some of these athletes. He's tough as shit when he's got the ball in his hands. He's competitive as hell. You mentioned the blocking, and he's just a high football IQ, a high IQ football player. I think he's just going to come into the NFL ready-made. Some of the weaknesses right now, you mentioned it, the deep ball tracking, I think, could use some work. He's got some good hands, but he's really not physical to dominate deep down the field. And then the injury history, I think, might scare some people off.
Forgot to mention that.
He's been banged up over the last few years, and when he's on the field, he's great, but there have just been little nicks and bumps and bruises with the ankles, with the feet. So I think that could push him down a little bit. But again, like I said, this dude is ready-made. He's going to come into the NFL, and he's going to be able to win with his route running right away.
Yeah, and you know, offensive coordinators love that. When you have a pro coming in as a rookie, I feel like it's going to really entice some teams to take him early.
Right. Where are we right now?
Because I think we're top fives now.
We're top fives. Okay. Based on what we have, I think we have the same top five. Unless you got like Tez Walker in your top five.
Well, who's your five? We'll tell you.
Okay.
This.
Should I just read out my top five?
No, just say who's your five. Who's number five?
I have Troy Franklin.
Yeah. Okay. So we have the same top five probably.
Okay. You want to go for Troy, or you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go with my guy, Troy. I know we both have a claim to him, but this is a guy who I had wide receiver 2 coming out of the summer. I really fucking was obsessed with his game. I loved his deep tracking, and I think that still plays. I think that's the name of his game. So yeah. This is someone, he's 6'2", 176 at the combine. And I think it didn't really make me drop him down, but it really disappointed me. He only ran a 4.41. This is someone who I thought was going to run in like the mid 4.3s, especially when he came in at that lightweight. But he's still... name of his game is speed. He wants to attack you vertically. I think this past season, his average depth of target is 12.8 yards, and the year prior is 12.3. So that just shows you he wants to go downfield. This past year, he had 81 catches, 1,383 yards, and 14 touchdowns. He's someone who I think, especially from last year, his ability to win after the catch, I think it was his biggest improvement going on from last year. He had, let me see, where did it just go? 538 yards after the catch. I was just under 40%. So I think that's really where he grew as a player. I already knew he had the deep ball tracking. That was the name of his game. But now being able to win all those manufactured underneath touches, I think some slants he took for big gains too. I think having that in your bag of tricks really makes you a more complete player. He's a natural hands catcher too. I think this past season he kind of suffered a little bit more drops. He had 9 drops. That's 10%, which is a lot more than he had the prior season, only 2. So I don't know if that was a little bit of concentration issues or what. And I think also his contested catch ability this past year dropped as well. He went 7 of 19 on contested catches as opposed to 7 of 11 the year prior. So the thing is, I did drop him obviously from 2 to 5, but I still know he has the ability to high point. He is someone who I saw going downfield, tracking the ball, and going up and winning. I saw it as a sophomore. He has that in his bag of tricks. It didn't just go away, so I'm not really worried overly about that, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I think his ability to win off the line of scrimmage and press, and then also when teams are scared because his reputation as a deep ball tracker, when they play off of him, he just eats up space so fast, and he puts them in a blender. So I think his ability to win in both press and off coverage is something that's big. And then also, for someone who is mainly a linear player, especially as a sophomore, I think he showed ability to get in and out of breaks really quickly. He's got small man skills. The route tree obviously isn't 100% there yet. I think he needs more refinement, but he has the tools to, I think he'll end up being a good route runner because he knows how to separate, and he's a great athlete. On the negatives, I think he still needs to get stronger and add some more weight. I think that 176 is way too low, especially if you're only running a 4.41. So I'd like to see him up around that 180, 185 mark. And then also, I guess, just the concentration drops this past season. I think he's kind of got to refine that. And it's not bad hands. I think it really mainly is concentration. But I think it's still, like, you can't have 10 drops in a season. It's just not going to fly. Overall, I think he's someone who's going to be a wide receiver too from the second he steps onto the field, someone who can stretch the field as well, similar to Xavier Worthy, really make defense have the game plan. And then eventually, I think once he refines his route run, he has a wide receiver one upside.
Yeah, I love this guy too. I have been kind of confused throughout this whole draft process why people have him as like wide receiver 8 or like 10 in like that range. All this guy's done over the past 2 years is produce and be one of the best wide receivers in the country. And it's not like he's playing in a shitty program. It's not like he's playing. It's not like he doesn't have like physical upside. Like, he's got all of that. So I don't see where maybe we're missing. Actually, fuck that. We don't miss. We're right on this player. The media is not. But I agree with everything you said. The release this year, I thought he grew. We really liked him over summer. I thought he grew a lot over this year. The release got a lot better. I mean, he puts corners in mud sometimes. His jab steps in the first phase of his release are outstanding. Like, he can move people so easily. And then it just really puts DBs in a bind because once he's got them leaning one way, he's got so much speed to take it over the top. That 4.41. It really doesn't bother me because on the football field, he plays fast. Like, I know he's fast, so I'm not really worried about that 4.41. The acceleration, I think, is at the top of this class with Neighbors and with McConkey, especially when he catches ball, when he has to slow down to catch balls that are maybe like a little bit behind him or he's just coming back to the football. He gets to his top speed so fast and can really just run away from people. You mentioned the yak ability went up this year. I think it's just him being more comfortable, especially catching the ball over the middle of the field. I think that was another area that he really grew in. You said it, when guys start to back off of him, he feels comfortable taking those 10-yard slants. Whereas last year, I think he wanted to take everything vertical. I think this year he really felt comfortable taking those 10 yards and maybe pushing it a little bit further down the field with his yak ability. He's really flexible too in the air. He can contort his body to make really tough catches, which I really like. He's got that slender frame. I do think he needs to add weight too, but he can make really tough catches look easy down the field. Agree with you. He's not overly strong. I think he's got to put on some weight. He doesn't do much hand fighting either. I think a lot of these guys don't really do that at the college level. It's pretty advanced thing. We're going to talk about a guy who definitely does that at the top. But I think with that weight too, he can go down easy after first contact too. He's a small guy. It is what it is. And then the last thing I wrote, I had the drops too. I think, again, concentration drops, I think those are going to get cleaned up. The last thing I had was just kind of improving his feel versus zone. I think there are a lot of times where he's looking to sit down in an open area of the field in zone, and he's just not finding the right space to sit down in. And I think there were a couple missed opportunities for him to just be in a better spot and to have a catch and run opportunity for Bo Nix. So those are things that are easily fixable with coaching. They're going to tell you, get to this spot. He can see you a little bit easier, and then you could catch, turn and run and go and use your speed and use your athleticism to get to the next level. But I really do think this is a guy that it will come in, like you said, be a wide receiver too. I have a mid-round one grade on him, and I think he's going to be a damn good player at the next level. All right, let's keep it rolling to number four. I have Brian Thomas Jr. at four.
I do as well.
Okay, we're going to have the same top five.
I'll give you the floor.
All right, thanks, man. I know this is a guy that you were really high on, too. Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, 6'3", 209, had 68 catches, a little over 1,100 yards, and 17 touchdowns this year, just an outstanding season. Had 386 yards of yak, 7 of 13 on contested catches, and had 48 first downs. He's really good at getting off the line of scrimmage for a big guy. He is one guy that will hand fight. He is a big physical guy. He's got a little bit more wiggle to him than I think people think when they first see him. Getting off the line of scrimmage for him, he is a hand fighter, which I really love to see. He's got good speed. He showed at the combine, ran 4.3s, can win downfield, but he can also take those shallow crossers that LSU really likes to run, and he takes it for good yak. Great tracker of the football down the field, is really confident in his hands and is really confident in his body control down the field, which I like. You see him, he never gets nervous or panicky when the ball is in the air down the field. He likes to put himself in good position. He likes to get guys on his back or on his hip and really go up and pluck the ball out of the air. And then for a bigger guy, he can really sink the hips on hitches and comeback routes. He is excellent at that right now. And I think for a guy his size, he's going to be a tough matchup once he really starts to learn some of the nuances of route running. I think he'll be a real matchup nightmare. Some of the weaknesses right now, I mentioned not much nuance in his route running. I want to see him play with a little bit better leverage because I see it when he takes deep balls down the field. Like I mentioned, he likes to get guys on his hip or on his back. But when he's taking like in-breaking routes or out-breaking routes towards the intermediate part of the field, I want to see him lean on DBs a little bit more because he is so big and physical. He can separate so easily just by leaning on a guy a little bit for half a second and then breaking towards the in part of the field. And kind of going along with that with just the nuance of route running, I want to see him use more pace in his routes. He plays at one speed right now, which is fast. But I think he could change it up and get DBs off balance a little bit more. And then the last thing I wrote, and maybe this was a product of watching Neighbors and him kind of back to back in LSU games, I want to see him work back to the quarterback a little bit more. Sometimes when he throttles down on those hitch routes, he'll just sit down and not come back to the quarterback, where it allows the defensive back to kind of get his hand in to kind of run back. And maybe it is kind of nitpicky because Neighbors is the best in the class, I think, maybe outside of Marv, at coming back to the quarterback. So I think this guy is going to be awesome. I think he's got mid-first round written all over him. I would not be shocked if he goes 10 to the Jets, honestly.
I think I said that a couple months ago, and I think you laughed at me. But yeah, I agree.
I would never laugh at you.
I think you do it a lot, but it's fine. this is a guy who I think he combines Troy Franklin's small man agility with Xavier Leggett's big man physicality and just high point of the ball. And that's like one of my favorite players. So I think I agree with almost everything you said, but I'll just touch on some of like the combine testing. He ran a 4.33 40 at 210 pounds, which is ridiculous. 38.5-inch vert, 10.6 broad. So the explosive numbers, really, really impressive. And he's someone this past year, really his first breakout season as a full-time starter, 68 catches, 1,177 yards, and 17 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure that led the country in touchdowns. 5 drops, which a little bit worrisome, but I think they're mainly concentration. It's nothing. I don't think it's bad hands or anything along those lines. An average depth of target, 14 yards, and he was 7 of 13 on contested catches. So it just shows his ability to go up and get it. He wins more than he loses. It's never really truly a 50-50 ball with him. But you mentioned it. I think very, very good at off the line scrimmage. Quick feet for a big guy who's 6'3". And he just, once he stacks you, it's kind of over just because he has that long speed just to win. And then if for some reason a cornerback sticking with him, he can just go up and moss you. So I love his ability to win with separation and at the catch point, and then even with the ball in his hand, I think he can take anything to the house. I agree with you on the obviously he needs to refine his route running ability, and I really do want to see him do a little bit more dirty work over the middle of the field. I feel like most of his wins this year were just straight up vertical. He's a vertical player right now, so I think when you draft him, you have to understand that, and you kind of have to treat him as a DK Metcalf like rookie at least, and just let him just do most of his work vertically, and he'll out athlete everyone and out physical everyone. So I view him as a top 15 player in this draft. I'm curious to see where he's going to rank in my final big board, but he's got true number one potential. He's an impressive athlete, and I think that he'll be a number one receiver in the NFL. I think pairing him with Garrett Wilson, whew, watch out.
Yeah, love that. At number three, if we're going to keep this rolling, I have Rome Odunze.
Okay, same.
Okay, you want to start with Rome here?
Yeah, I mean, Rome is just, he's silky fucking smooth, man.
Rome. Yeah, dude, he's such a good player.
He seems like such a good dude, too. He kept doing that 3-cone at the combine, which was hysterical because he kept faulting or whatnot. But so he's 6'3", 212, a big, big receiver. But he's got little man movement skills as well. He's someone who's a silky smooth route runner. He ran a 4.45 40 at that size, which is impressive. 39-inch vert, 10.4 broad. 6.883 cone that I mentioned that he just wouldn't stop doing, and a 4.03 short shuttle. So this is someone when the top two guys that we have didn't test at all, he did everything, which you'll love to see. He's a competitor. This past season, we'll go with 22 first. 75 catches, 1,145 yards, 7 touchdowns as a sophomore, right? He's not seen, yeah. So a monster sophomore year, but he was only 4 of 16 on contested catches. I think I had him like wide receiver 5 or 6, I want to say, over the summer. And it was just because of that lack of physicality. I really wanted to see him get a little bit stronger, a little better. He said he spent the offseason working out with the basketball team and rebounding. That's how he got better at contested catches. What he went on to have 92 catches, 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns, and went 21 of 28 on contested catches, 75%. So he really turned that weakness into a strength. This is a guy, you can move him inside, outside at will. I think he played 82% of his snaps outside, but he's someone that he can be a slot receiver at the next level. I think he's just such a refined route runner. I think that would almost even be better. He's a natural hands catcher. He doesn't really drop the ball. He had 3 drops this past season, and I don't think I have it listed what he had. Oh, 4 drops the year prior. So super consistent. He's someone, I think he had 74 first downs. So he's a chain mover. When it's third and long, they just automatically look for him. He's someone who can separate. He can win at the catch point, win after the catch. He's got all the ingredients to be a true number one wide receiver. On the negatives, I feel like I don't even know what I have written for negatives, to be honest with you. I don't think he's the most explosive guy, I guess, to say. So like when you compare him to like a Malik Nabers after the catch, it's not going to be his game, but he's just so solid all around. I feel like he's an old school wide receiver. So I think he'll be transitioned to the league the easiest out of everyone not named Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, he kind of reminds me of Nico Collins.
I
Just
think
like
I had Keenan Allen as a comp for him.
that's a good one too. I kind of think Nico Collins and Keenan Allen are kind of similar players too. Yeah, this dude is just awesome to watch. And going back to summer, I think the big knock I had on him was a lack of competitiveness and a lack of domination in games. Because you saw just what a freak he was. And even last year, like he had over 1,000 yards last year, but it was like an underwhelming 1,000 yards. I feel like we both kind of shared that sentiment. And this year, he just took his game to a completely different level. The 50-50 balls are just unstoppable. They're his. He plucks balls out of the air. He goes up to its highest point and is aggressive coming down with the ball, which I really love. It's just his bread and butter. But like you said, he can win in those short areas too. He's just such a smooth route runner. Just a really heady player too. I was reading a little bit about the Kalen DeBoer offense and what it demanded of Michael Penix. I was reading it for Michael Penix, but then it also kind of turned me on for Rome and McMillan and Polk. Basically, everything in their offense is choice routes. Every single route that they run, basically, are choice routes. So
All of
not
them?
only is that,
Like all the receivers?
yes, which is crazy, which speaks to, I mean, obviously it speaks to Penix seeing the whole field, but it speaks to the IQ of these wide receivers and how they need to know how defenses are playing them. Because if you're not on the same page with your quarterback, there could be a lot of errant throws. So for him, I think coming into the NFL, very high IQ player. He really understands how defenses want to play him. And I think he just has all the tools to attack in the short, the intermediate, and the deep parts of the field that I really don't think he has a lot of weaknesses right now. Some of the weaknesses I have, I think, are a little nitpicky, but I think he stands a little bit upright when he runs his routes. He's not always sinking the hips and getting in and out of breaks so quickly. But he's a guy that knows how to use his footwork. He has no wasted movements in his footwork, and he knows how to use his body to get separation. So again, I really don't think it hurts him that much. And then off the line of scrimmage, I could want him to play with a little bit more physicality because I do think he has that. He's a little bit of a finessey player in that aspect. Not so much when he goes up and gets the ball, but when he is running his routes and when he gets off the line of scrimmage, he's a little bit finessey. But like you said, like, I think the gap between him, Marv, and Malik is really small. And from what I've been reading is that like NFL teams are like gushing over this guy, and like teams are not going to be surprised if he goes ahead of Marv, which would, I don't think there's a shot in hell that happens, but apparently he's just been acing all of his interviews. The whole league is just like in love with this dude. So I think he's going to be a great pro. I mean, this is a 1A type of player in most drafts.
I couldn't agree. I wouldn't touch Marvin Harrison within the first 9 picks. Wouldn't touch him.
Right, let's
But
keep it roll. Yeah,
I just
go
want to
ahead.
say, just to follow up, I do agree with you. I think the gap between him and Neighbors is really thin. They're two completely different type of players. So I think it really just depends on the flavor you prefer. That being said, we'll touch on it, but I think Marv is still daddy.
Yeah, Marv's daddy, but this next guy's his daddy. I'm gonna talk about Malik Nabers
I
here.
know, yeah, obviously. We honestly we didn't plan it, but the way that we got you your guy, we got me my guy. So you go first, you lead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, we don't do my guys for top five selections, but this is a my guy in every sense of the word. Loved him out of summer and just did nothing short of have an incredible season again this year. Had 89 catches for almost 1,600 yards, 14 touchdowns, back-to-back seasons with 1,000 yards. Had almost 600 yards of yak, was 10 of 22 in contested catch situations, and he had 70 first downs this year. Just the ultimate chain mover. This dude, the first thing you notice when on film is juice. And he's got juice in two areas. He's got juice down the field, and he's also got juice with the ball in his hands. He had 30 forced missed tackles this year, which is just absurd for a wide receiver. I mean, he runs really tough and hard, but the shiftiness in the open field and the short area quickness and the first step acceleration is dominant and elite. The quick feet and the release is just impressive. His suddenness, similar to Ladd, it just allows him to break away from corners, just get so much separation. And then the other thing I wrote, the change of pace in his routes makes him, I think, the best route runner in the class. It's smooth and easy, and he has an extra gear that other players don't have in this draft. When he puts his foot in the ground, he takes off. There was a play against when they played Alabama. He got Malachi Moore in two situations where the first route, he hitched down on him on like a 10-yard hitch, the ball was broken up. It was like the same play, like 1 minute later, he's lined up in the slot against Malachi Moore, and he throttles down like he's about to take that hitch route, puts his foot in the ground, and he is 10 yards by Malachi Moore. People don't know, Malachi Moore, really good safety at Alabama, is going to be an NFL player next year. Just that second gear is very Garrett Wilson, very Justin Jefferson type wide receiver. He's just a natural at the position. He's just natural and he's dominant. Some of the weaknesses right now, I want to see him improve his head and his shoulder fakes. This is something I talked about over summer too. He is such a good route runner with his feet. If he starts to sell routes with his head and his shoulder fakes, it's over. Cause he doesn't do it right now. But if he adds those, he's just going to be unstoppable at the next level. As a run blocker, he's not going to give you much there. We haven't really talked about blocking for anybody, but it's noticeable for him. And again, these are very nitpicky for a guy who's going to be a top five pick. And then the last thing I wrote, we mentioned it for Brian Thomas, how good he is at stacking on vertical routes. I think for him, he's not always great at stacking vertical routes. I think he breaks some of these vertical routes in towards the middle of the field where he just needs to keep that linear movement and keep DBs on his back. He sometimes gives DBs like a chance to break up a pass when he breaks it a little bit towards the middle of the field. But that is so coachable, and that can completely get out of his game. In any other draft, this guy is the first wide receiver off the board. He just is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a home run hitter. I think that's how you describe him. He's someone with the ball in his hands. He's the deadliest player in this draft, and it's not particularly close. I love how you mentioned his rare acceleration, because that guy goes 0 to 60 faster than anyone in this draft class. He is like a fucking Ferrari, dude. He just takes off, and it's kind of like, I feel like it confuses defenders almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he hits another gear so fast, and that, I feel like that helps with the ball in his hands, but also, like you said, on those deep routes where like he tries to sell a double move, it's just he's deadly with it. I agree with you. The 30 missed tackles force, I think it's just more proof of the pudding that he is just a legit elite ball in his hands. Like, he's elite with it. He didn't measure at the combine, but he's listed 6 foot 200 pounds. He plays bigger than what he's listed. He can go up and get it. He's someone who can win at the cash point, which I do love in those guys who have juice after the play too. And he's a true, I feel like, a Z receiver, where he can play inside, outside. He's going to be moved around a lot and should really keep defenses off balance. I think the only couple negatives I have on him, I think his route tree right now, I think it's just an offense thing, but he doesn't really run the most like diverse route tree. But again, he has all the tools to become an elite route runner. You mentioned it. Like, his ability to separate is second to none, probably. And then also, I did notice he does take some plays off, I feel like. I feel like there are some times where he's just dogging routes. I don't know if it's just because he knows the play call, but I'd like to see him be kind of 100% of the time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And as a player comp, this guy, to me, he's just Odell. This guy gives me he just reminds me so much of Odell Beckham, just with a little bit of a thicker frame. So I view him as a top 10 player in this class. He'll probably end up being a top 7 player for me. And he'll be a day one, number one.
Yeah, completely agree. All right, let's talk Marvin Harrison Jr. Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah,
you
earned it. Yeah, I mean, he is the best player in this draft. And I don't really, I mean, it's close, but I'm very confident in saying that.
I don't even think it's that close.
Yeah, I don't, dude. He's 6'3". 210, and his route running is I feel like his route running and his route plan is that of Ladd McConkey. He is just so mature. You can just tell his dad was, is his dad a Hall of Famer, right? Is he getting to the Hall of Fame? You just tell he's just been living with football his entire life. The body control, he has that Brian Thomas Jr., Xavier Leggett body control, but he also runs routes like Ladd McConkey. That one play, I can't remember what game it was, but on the sideline when 90% of his body's out of bounds, it looks like he's going to fall, and somehow he gets his foot down and doesn't snap his leg into a million pieces, was one of the most impressive things I've ever seen. He's another one. He can play inside or out. Doesn't really matter. I actually loved when they put him in the slot. He was just deadly. I think your boy
killed Penn State out of the slot.
Yeah, I think he played the slot a lot against you guys. And he just got the first like six balls thrown to him, just dominating. So he's someone, I think the one negative in his game that you can say is that he's not deadly after the catch. He's not going to do what Malik Neighbor does. You don't want to give him screens and take it to the house, but he wins everywhere else, and he wins with ease everywhere else. I love him as a player. I think he's probably the best wide receiver I've seen coming out since maybe AJ Julio. Green. Julio. He reminds me a lot of Julio. But yeah, I think he's going to be a perennial pro bowler from the second he steps on the NFL field.
Yeah, this dude is just awesome to watch. Honestly, as much as I hate Ohio State, it was a pleasure to watch Marvin Harrison Jr. As a football fan, he plays the right way. He's a team guy. He's ultra competitive. Like, it's just everything you want in a star. He's still
at Ohio State. He was at their spring practices like all week.
Yes.
Guy loves his teams.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned everything really, really well. The first thing that I talk about is dominant at the catch point. He just makes ridiculous catches look routine. And you mentioned that one play on the sidelines, but there are like 20 plays like that where he just makes absurd acrobatic catches in traffic over guys. He's another one. Like, there's no panic in his game ever. Like, he just has a plan for everything. If you want to come up and press him, he's great getting off the line of scrimmage. He's a great hand fighter, best hand fighter in the class off the line of scrimmage, but also has excellent footwork and technique to get off the line of scrimmage. If you want to back off of him because you're worried about that vertical route, he is very willing to dink and dunk 10-yard slants across your face, and you can't stop him on those. And he's an elite athlete. I mean, he's fast. His straight line speed is fast. He can outjump everybody. He's got great feet to throttle down. His suddenness at his size is super impressive. I mean, he looks like his dad, but he's 5 inches taller and 25 pounds heavier. It's ridiculous. He moves like he's 5'10". And then I mentioned this for Neighbors before about working back to the ball. He is excellent at working back to the football on QB scramble drill. He is so good at finding open zones in the middle of the field or towards the sideline, wherever the quarterback is scrambling. He's excellent at coming back to the football. The only like thing I had weakness wise this year, he had some drops, but he's got great hands. So I'm not really concerned about a couple concentration drops. He gets so many targets. You mentioned the yak stuff too. I thought he did a little bit better job of being a little bit more elusive this year. I think they gave him more opportunities to catch some balls in the middle of the field this year and use his speed. But I mean, he had 51 first downs on 67 catches. So it just shows you he's a chain mover without even really having to do anything after the catch, which is just super impressive. I agree. This dude is a good top 20 wide receiver immediately when he comes into the NFL. And I think he's got a good shot at being a top 5 wide receiver for basically the duration of his career.
Yeah, I think he's top 10 from the day he steps in the NFL. He's that refined. But
there's so many good wide receivers in the league, man.
That is true.
If he is, though, like, I'm not going to be that surprised. You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of just who he is. All right, so let's run through 1 through 10, and then let's talk about a slew of these guys outside.
Yeah, so 1, Marvin Harrison Jr., 2, Malik Neighbors, 3, Rome Odunze, 4, Brian Thomas Jr., 5, Troy Franklin, and that's for both of us. And then for me, my 6 is Xavier Leggett, 7, Ladd McConkey. 8 is Xavier Worthy. 9, A.D. Mitchell. And 10, Keon Coleman.
Right. So we had the same top 5, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Brian Thomas, and Troy Franklin. For me, at 6, I had Ladd McConkey from Georgia. At 7, I had A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. 8 was his teammate, Xavier Worthy. 9 was Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. And then 10 was Ricky Pearsall from Florida. Let's talk about these guys outside the top 10. I know you love Roman Wilson. Talk to me about Roman Wilson.
Yeah, this is a guy. He's another one just juice, man. Very fucking explosive player. Didn't really get featured that much in that Michigan offense, but he was the number one receiver, but this was a team that didn't really throw the ball a lot, obviously. He's a little slender, 5'10", 186, but amazing route runner. Another one which is really clean, quick feet, and just knows how to separate. I think he's going to be a starting slot receiver from day one. He's another one. He's not the most physical. He's a finesse guy. I think he's probably a slot only, but he'll be a really good slot player. And I think by the end of his rookie contract, he can be a borderline number two receiver. He gives off some like Josh Downs vibes a little bit to me.
Big time. He's great. I'm talking about guys playing with better leverage and leaning on DBs to get separation. He is fantastic at that. At his size, he really can lean into DBs and really get 3-4 yards of separation over the middle of the field. I have him at 11 as well as you. The guy I want to talk about here is Javon Baker from UCF. It's a guy I've been talking up a lot to you. I have him at 13. This guy is a transfer from Alabama who sat behind Devontae Smith, Henry Ruggs, Waddle, Jerry Jeudy. So he was in that room with all those guys, learning from those guys. And I was listening to an interview with Devontae Smith the other day, who was talking about what a dog this guy is. And for Devontae Smith, he was like, I saw him watching me, so I had to make sure I was perfect. And I thought that was really cool that he had so many great receivers to look up to. Transfers to UCF, had 2 breakout seasons, had like 800 yards in his junior campaign. His senior year, had 52 catches for over 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns, was 9 for 16 on contested catches, had 42 first downs. His footwork is the first thing that I notice on film. His routes are crispy smooth. He plays with so much twitch and so much nuance from the release to his break. And he is the best at selling break routes in this class of all the guys I watch. He sells routes with his head and his shoulders and his eyes so well. And I think at the next level, even though he didn't run that well, he's not an athletic freak. Even though he does have good quick jump ability, he doesn't have the best long speed, but I do think he's going to be able to win at the next level because of his route running is so polished. And then the other thing you notice, the body control in the air is great. He's got really strong hands. He wins a lot of 50-50 balls, and he's won. He had 9 drops. He had 9 drops this year. I think he had 7 drops this year. And I saw an interview. He was talking about NFL teams. They said, why'd you drop the ball so much? And he said, I don't know. My hands are big enough. that was literally his answer, which I found hilarious. But he's one. He plucks the ball out of the air, and he's a guy who holds the ball away from defenders, which I really love to see. He's not going to make him miss too much in the open field, but he's just so great at running routes, and I think he's a guy you can play on the outside to win on quick fades and little slants across the middle. I have an early round 3 grade on him right now. If he gets to day 3, my God, he's going to be a steal for somebody.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to watch him fully, but you've been talking him up like crazy, so I got to get around to that.
Yeah, he's fucking awesome. Who are some other guys that you want to talk through?
I mean, before we leave, I got to talk about my boy Jordan Whittington again. I just love this guy, dude. I really do. I don't know why people don't talk about him. I guess because he's not like an elite athlete, and he's kind of been buried on that depth chart in Texas, a fifth-year senior. But he's like the number 4 or 5 target in that offense. He had 41 catches, 494 yards. 235 yards after the catch. And I think that's really where I love him the most. He's a big physical receiver, and he's going to do the dirty work for your offense. So he's someone who I feel like he's going to probably end up going on day 3. He'll come in, he'll be a wide receiver 4 or 5, have to play some specials. But I really do think he reminds me of like that Khalil Shakir type, where he may not do anything his rookie year, but his second year hooks, I'll get some slot touches, and he'll just produce when he gets the ball thrown to him. He's got a really good feel for getting open against linebackers and slot corners, safeties, and I feel like the biggest thing is that he knows how to get open in zone coverage. That, and then combined with the fact that he's 200 plus pounds, he's hard to bring down, dude. He runs hard, he's pretty fast, and he knows how to run below behind his pad. So I think this is someone who's criminally underrated, and a couple years, I can't wait to be right.
Yeah. I love how you love this guy so much.
You just joke.
It's so cute. It's cute.
When you watch Texas and you, like, I don't understand how you don't notice this guy. It's like, oh, right. There's Jordan again.
Yeah. God, there are like three other guys I want to get to. Maybe we'll break them up. I'm going to talk about another really good yards after catch guy. He's the Yak God. Malachi Corley. I have him at 15 out of Western Kentucky, 5'11", 215, had 79 catches, 985 yards, and 11 touchdowns. He's had three straight years of production. I mentioned 985 yards, 683 of those were after the catch. He had almost 1,000 yards after the catch last year, too. Just incredible with the ball in his hands. Had 40 forced missed tackles in 2022. He's physical. He's twitchy with the ball in his hands. He's physical getting in and out of breaks. He really leans on defenders because he doesn't have much polish or nuance to his route running right now. But I do think you see the twitch when he's got the ball in his hands, and I think some of that route running can be coached up a little bit. And then the other thing I really love, obviously a lot of this is with the ball in his hands because basically all he does is catch screens. His vision with the ball in his hands, he turns into a running back immediately, where a lot of these guys aren't so good after the catch. They don't really know what to do when they got the ball in their hands. I mean, he looks to take every ball to the house. He's looking for open green grass. No, every time he touches the ball, which I really appreciate. I think he's going to get manufactured touches in year one. For as physical as he is, I wish he was a better contested catch guy. He's had really poor numbers over the last few years. But there are flashes of him going up in traffic and making big time plays. So maybe that turns around. Contested catches are always a tough stat to be consistent with, but he's a really good player. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah has him in, I think, his top 40. I don't have him that high, but I do think this is a guy that could go, in round three and be a really good player.
Yeah. I just think that for him, I feel like a lot of people are falling in love with the what he does after the catch with the running with the ball in his hands. And I just don't know how well it's going to translate from the level he just played at to the NFL. I mean, I do see it. He definitely runs hard, but I don't know if he is a good enough route runner and not good enough at the catch point to be able to see that potential fully developed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, people are saying Debo. Like, this guy is not Debo. Debo's one of one. But if you can get some of that from him, like, he's never going to be Debo. But if you can get some of that stuff from him as a wide receiver three, I think that's outstanding. So I think that's kind of who he is at the next level. There are two more guys that I want to mention. Jalen Polk from Washington and Tez Walker. You want to talk about one of them?
Yeah, I was going to talk about Polk. So okay. Works good. Polk is he's like the similar type as Jordan Whittington in my eyes. He's a big physical receiver. He can play inside out. I think he may be better suited for the slot in the NFL. He didn't really test the best. He ran a 4.52. But the speed is deceptive, I feel like, on tape. I feel like he kind of lulls corners to sleep, and he's able to run by them, especially with the ball in his hands. But he's going to do the dirty work, dude. He's going to play over the middle of the field. He wins with nuance and his football IQ as opposed to his physical gifts. And he's another one, very solid hands catcher and good in contested situations. He went 13 of 24 this past year, and this past year was his breakout. He had 69 catches for 1,100 plus yards, 9 touchdowns. So he's someone that I think he's going to be a dirty work in the NFL, wide receiver three type, playing over the middle and getting the first downs. He's a chain mover. So I really do like those guys. I think they kind of need them on winning teams. So it's curious where he ends up going. I'm curious if he's going to sneak into the second, or if he gets to the Jets in the third round, I think it's a really good value pick.
Yeah, this is a dude that plays his ass off, too. Every play, ultra competitive. He blocks his ass off. Really tough when he's got the ball in his hands. Like, he's one of those guys, like, refuses to go down on first contact, which I really love. And he's got good contested catch numbers this past year. Really strong hands. So Would love it if he fell to the third round. I'm going to talk about Tez Walker here from UNC. Guy we talked about a ton, especially with his eligibility issues this past season at North Carolina at the combine. Was 6'1 and a half, 193. He ran 4.36 with a 1.54 split, jumped 40 and a half inches and 11.12 in the broad. So this dude is an athletic freak. He is a vertical threat in every sense of the word. Straight line speed is great. He is excellent at stacking defensive backs too. Once he gets them on his hip, he is gone. And he's shown the ability to high point the football and really go up and get it. Was 10 of 17 this past season on contested catches. Doesn't do a ton in the short and intermediate parts of the field right now. And obviously a lot of people saw over the Senior Bowl the inconsistencies with his hands. But I thought during the combine, he looked really comfortable in that gauntlet drill, which I think turned a lot of teams. I feel like I might be a little bit too low on him because I know what his role is going to be in the NFL. He's going to be that MVS type, that straight linear speed, go down the field, go get it. I have him at 16 right now. And again, I feel like I'm a little too low on him.
Yeah, he's explosive. He really bounced back well from a Senior Bowl.
Yeah. All right, man, there's so many guys that we didn't even get to. Jermaine Burton's got a lot of love from Alabama. Brendan Rice from USC, Jerry Rice's son, has gotten love. Jalen McMillan, the third Washington wide receiver. Jamari Thrash from Louisville was a really good player. Malik Washington from Virginia is a spark plug with the ball in his hands. Johnny Wilson might be a tight end. I don't know. He ran 4.5 at the combine at 6.7, 237. So, this class is just absolutely loaded. You will find starters in day three, like you mentioned at the top. But, Ray, I have 18 guys who I have top three round grades on. It's ridiculous. Yeah, what a class crazy. This is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I love it. I'm curious to see how they go off the board. That's really what I'm looking forward to seeing because I think so many teams are going to have these guys ranked so differently too, where – I think there's a chance that, like I said, the wide receiver 12 could go before our wide receiver like 8. I think it's very possible.
Right. All right. Good stuff, man. That's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed our wide receiver rankings. Stay locked in with us. We got a lot of good stuff coming up. Free agency starts Monday. So we're going to have a lot of free agency talk and how that sets up teams for the draft. We got getting back to the trenches, we're doing interior defensive linemen. We're doing interior offensive linemen for our next two rankings. May have a mock draft in there. So we got a lot of good stuff coming. So stay locked in. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at Two Tackles with the number 2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we continue towards this 2024 NFL draft. Ray, my friend, appreciate you.